Andropause or male menopause can be reversed by releasing male hormone from sex hormone binding globulin by 2 capsules of Men's Max twice a day, using 8-pyrrole norrenogen and hormone synergy to prevent the conversion of male hormone to female, and the use of Testo cream topically 4 to 8 pumps on the neck, arms, and groin, along with DHEA and pregnenolone cream to reverse the hormone deficiency production. This protocol can reverse male hormone imbalances and can be tested with saliva tests with a consult with Dr. Bill Deagle at NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. So male andropause is reversible, as well as prostate problems with prostate flow, bladder up, and Swedish flower pollen. Contact us for your protocol for male hormone problems and prostate at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. The best place to find the wellness protocols to make you better without toxic polypharmacy. Take care and take action with NutriMedical.com. CalmMind and BrainMag are an amazing combination. CalmMind contains myo-inositol, xanthine, and GABA. And BrainMag contains magnesium L-threonate to calm the brain down by blocking the N-methyl-D-aspartate receptor. We can use this along with other nutraceuticals for anxiety, including 5-HTP cross that crosses the blood-brain barrier, stress to go, and the use of our CBD liposomal oil as well to reduce and calm the brain down and reduce seizure activity and non-seizure activity in the limbic system that causes anxiety. If you have questions regarding our protocol for anxiety and sleep, do contact us at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. You can get a free protocol and a callback if you purchase any products at 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical.com, the best place to get the wellness protocols to stay, keep you well without toxic polypharmacy. Stay well with NutriMedical. Beauty of your skin, hair, and nails is dependent on the production of collagen, elastin, and hyaluronic acid. You can increase these with Collagen Max, and it triples the rate of the proline transhydroxylase enzyme. You can increase hyaluronic acid with the joint performance and the use of Red Deer Velvet DR, and the use of oncomycin to increase the production of stem cell regeneration. The use of topicals, including pregnenolone and DHA, will reduce inflammation in your skin and help it heal. And taking Omega Supreme Pro of fatty acids will help regenerate your fatty acids in your tissues. The combination of using NutriMed's Royal Jelly and Collagen Max dramatically increases collagen, elastin, and hyaluronic acid in your skin, hair, and nails, and prevents the cross-linking. You can also prevent the cross-linking of tissues in your skin using curcumin cream along with pregnenolone and DHEA. Amazing protocol. 888-212-8871 and NutriMedical.com to regenerate and stay beautiful with strong skin, hair, and nails. CBD or cannabidiol oil has amazing properties of reducing anxiety, fighting cancer, lowering blood pressure, and helping the body's immune system respond appropriately to infections and inflammation, and modulating autoimmune diseases. CBD oil from our source is carbon dioxide extracted at 550 milligrams per 15-ml bottle or 37 milligrams per mil, but has a special, most powerful liposomal polyphenol to absorb much higher concentrations than by any other source or any other provider in America or worldwide. Get CBD liposomal oil from NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871, and calm yourself down. You can take our other nutraceuticals with it, like Stress to Go, 5-HTP Cross, Calm Mind, and Brain Mag. But get them at NutriMedical.com, the ultimate place for solutions for your health with oat-toxic polypharmacy. That's NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well with NutriMedical. The first hour of the NutriMedical Report, Monday to Friday, deals with health, wellness, and anti-aging technology. But especially Friday, Firing Line, is the first hour where the host is Michelle Deagle, asking your questions brought to us by email and phone to 888-212-8871. Or contact us at NutriMedical. Your answers are given on air with abbreviated protocols and the science and technology explained simply behind why we use this protocol to try to help you heal and regenerate and have your health return without toxic polypharmacy. We integrate it with regular medicine and surgery and are able to provide you logical protocols. Anyone can get a free protocol by just emailing us, starter. And if you've purchased a product, you can even get a call back anytime between Monday and Thursday after the show or on the weekend. So Dr. Bill is available for you. Get your questions into the contact us or 888-212-8871 or contact us at NutriMedical.com. Stay well with NutriMedical every day. And we're back. We have Dr. Bob Teal. And Dr. Bob, you've been away a few weeks. We were actually on the Rents Radio Network. Much more pleased with the interaction with Todd over here at our VIP stack and his great board hopping. We have much more freedom to get our articles up. I have two different types of articles, one on health. I've got in the process about four major news articles dealing with various health issues like pain, autoimmune disease, depression, bipolar depression, and cancer. And all articles like the one we did, a whistleblowing article regarding the Cuban-like missile crisis in Venezuela at La Orchia Island, researched by myself and Dr. John W. Spring and my colleagues inside the intel agencies. And we also launched a Radio.co radio network. We have a number of shows that are actually as we speak, going up. And we're putting on many more podcast platforms. I purchased 1,380 radio station MFM Talk Radio Station Network database here, so we're expanding our network out dramatically. And we're doing a lot more audio and video, which is good. So we're getting the word out, and we're getting much broader, if you want to call it, coverage or spread of the truth about what's going on with our show and our network, which is really cool. What I see happening is very important that people understand that things are really pretty end-time-ish, aren't they? When you hear the kind of media talk about eugenics and euthanasia and infanticide, when I see the crisis on our southern border and the way that Trump is handling it, and again, remember, he's doing some things correct, but mostly he's screwing up. And he's screwing up because he doesn't have a Christian perspective. He's a high-level Royal Arch White Hat Mason trying to do what's right in his own eyes, and he needs people like you and I to give him proper Christian advice, doesn't he?
Well, I don't think that Donald Trump read my book about him.
You're a funny guy.
Okay, it would be nice if we did. I wasn't going to mention that book, but I did write one, Donald Trump and America's Apocalypse. And as it turns out, there's a list of 20 things of why Donald Trump is apocalyptic. And it turns out he's confirmed pretty much all of those, or world events confirmed all that. But, okay, now I'm going to finally let you know what I didn't let you know.
Right. In other words, you want to have the joy of shock so that we can have more entertainment, fun, and also better dialogue with the public out there. And by the way, we have much better interaction with callers. Callers can now ask questions much more freely on our system with our new board op numbers, 844-769-2944, 844-769-2944. And Todd will pick it up directly, and then actually the question will go up on our VIP stack, which is way more advanced than Genesis or over at Republic Radio. And it's really good because we can put them on air, mute them, whatever, and we want to make sure they stay on topic. So that number again, 844-769-2944. So what's the topic, Dr. Bob?
All right. Okay, now I've kept you in suspense. You asked me about it, and I wouldn't tell you. And then I wouldn't tell you when we were on, just, you know, we were talking, but during your last commercial break. And right. That is, I want to talk, it's a sort of a continuation of what we were talking about before, except this time I'm going to use a word that you've used many times. And that is, today what I want to talk about is Chrislam and the Vatican.
Right.
Now, some people probably haven't heard of Chrislam, and I've got a lot of stuff on this to go over. Okay,
right.
Now, some listeners might remember that last week I was on here. We had some communication issues, so I was only on for about 15 minutes. And I mentioned that there was a meeting over in the United Arab Emirates that the Pope was at. And what he did is he and the imam over there, who's considered the leading Sunni imam by some people. Okay. Anyway, this was last Monday. What they did is they signed what some people are calling a document toward one rule, one world religion. And you read through the document, and just to let people know, these kind of documents, 80-90% of it's fine. Okay? I want to make it clear. I've gotten along with all the Muslims that I've known, and I've not engaged in any kind of war with them or vice versa. Okay? And
right.
I think that's great. I mean, you know, we don't want to go out and do anything like that. Go out and fighting and whatever. So that part's fine. But what happened was Pope Francis and Iman Sheikh Ahmed al-Tayyib, they signed this document related to what you could call a one-world religion, or some people have called it. And they signed this at this thing called the Global Conference on Human Fraternity. And basically, the other people were there, were people like the General Secretary of the World Council of Churches, and he pushed all this stuff. And the other part about this is it's interesting, and some people started to call this perhaps related to Chrislam, because there's kind of some kind of a group getting together. But next month, and I didn't know this when I was on last week, and I wish I'd have known it, but I didn't. It was announced before I was on, but I didn't notice it until after I was on. Next month in Morocco, they're going to hold what they call another conference, and the Vatican News source, it's actually called the Vatican News, they sent something out, and they sent out a logo. And I'll talk about the logo in a minute, but it's called Pope Francis, Servant of Hope, Morocco 2019. You say, okay, so now, Bill, I don't know if you've got a chance to see it yet, but about 2 minutes ago, I sent you an email.
Right.
And if you open the email and you click on the first link that I gave you, which you might want to put up for your listeners,
I definitely put that up for as we're processing the show right after, and we're much faster now able to kind of process it and get up on our NutriMedical.com and over at Deagle Network, where they can actually choose whatever podcasting platform, whether it's TuneIn, iTunes, email, whatever. We have all kinds of platforms they can get the show and have it sent to them directly as soon as the show is processed, usually within an hour after it's done.
All right. Well, if you click on the link to the article that I just posted, it's been online for 12 minutes now, okay?
This
is really fresh. Okay.
Right.
The title is, Chrislam is Emerging, Could It Be Marian? And the first thing you'll see is this picture.
Right.
And this was sent out by the Vatican. And this is the official logo of this conference in Morocco. Now, if you look at this logo, you say, what is this? And what you see is some type of a cross. And it's almost completely surrounded by a crescent moon.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
It's almost completely surrounded by a crescent moon. And I've decided to call this the Chrislam Cross.
That's a very appropriate term, isn't it?
Yes, it is what I'm calling the Chrislam Cross. And the Chrislam Cross, now, they chose the different colors and stuff, so I guess maybe I should explain it a little bit of the details to some people here. Okay. It's got the crescent moon of Islam, and the colors are yellow and white for the Vatican and red and green for Islam. So this is why the different colors are there the way it is. The moon itself is red, but even though they're claiming that the green has to do with Islam, it goes across the yellow, and that's supposed to be some type of a cross. Now, as your listeners probably know, Muslims have a kind of a fear of crosses or disdain of crosses. Now, this goes way, way, way back. Many people have heard of what are called the Crusades. A pope decided to start these against Muslims a long time ago. And the reason they're called Crusades is that the people who came down to fight against the Muslims had crosses on their shields, and the word Crusader meant cross-bearers, so people who put crosses on their shields. So Islam has historically been very concerned about crosses all over the place, and instead we've got this symbol with a cross. Certainly, what is here is certainly not what Jesus was impaled upon, and it doesn't quite look like what they put on their shields, but it's also surrounded by Islam, giving the impression that Islam can dominate nearly everything. Now, the initial idea to put crosses on shields, by the way, came from a vision that Emperor Constantine had. Many of your listeners probably heard of Emperor Constantine. He was the a leader back in the early 4th century. He was a Roman leader, and he claimed to have a vision, and he had a vision of a spear with some kind of a bar across it.
Right.
So, again, a spear. It was a military implement. And he claimed that he saw something that said, in this sign you shall conquer. So he told all the soldiers to paint it on their shields. They went out and they won something called the Battle of Milvian Bridge. Now, what people don't seem to realize about Emperor Constantine, though, a few years before that, he had another vision. In a previous vision, what he saw was a sun god. And so when he died, and even after he supposedly converted to Christianity, which I don't believe he ever did, but people claim he did.
No, and they talk about deathbed for conversion. I don't believe in deathbed conversion.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny. Well, you mentioned deathbed. Not only does he supposedly have a deathbed conversion, and that means the instant he was dying, supposedly he converted, he called himself a lay bishop when he put together the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D.,
right.
And he wasn't even baptized. Okay, you can argue whether or not the faith he was in was correct. He was never baptized, okay? And unless they baptized him, as you said, the day he died, which I think was something like 336, 337, somewhere in that time frame. At least that's what my memory serves me to say. Well, anyway, so he claimed to see the vision of this symbol. He also claimed to have a vision of the sun god, and he was buried in the grove of the sun god. And even after this vision where he claimed to see this militaristic cross, he continued to put the sun god on his coins. So for anybody who thinks, oh, this was God speaking directly to him and converting him, that is not what happened.
I don't think so.
No, not at all. So you're right. Anyway, continuing with this, so we've got this symbol now, a Chrislam symbol. Now, there really is something called Chrislam, by the way, and I want to talk about that. And I found an article at this place called LifeSite News. They're an anti-abortion site. And so let me read a couple things from this and tie it into all this. They wrote, believe it or not, there really is a religious movement called Chrislam. It began in Nigeria in the 1980s as an attempt to foster peace between Muslims and Christians by blending elements of Islam and Christianity. Its followers stress the commonalities between the two faiths, and they recognize both the Quran and the Bible as holy texts. Okay, well, I don't think Christians can recognize the Quran as a holy text. Okay, I can understand why Muslims would, but as far as Christians go, no. The Quran.
Well, there's the bridge is Marianology, which is what you talked about before. Marianology is the bridge between Islam. In fact, the Alawites are a perfect example of that, right?
Yeah. Well, I want to get to that. But as far as the Quran and the Bible go, I'll just make a couple of quick points. And that one is the Bible says that Jesus came, died for our sins, was resurrected by God, and the Muslims don't believe that Jesus came to die for sins and he was the Son of God. Okay, they say he was a great prophet, but that's it. So there's a massive conflict between the two. And in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 4, it says there's only one name under heaven by which you can be saved, which is Jesus. And that's not what the Muslims teach. Okay, they don't teach that. So any Christian who thinks that the Quran is a divinely holy text, in my opinion, they can't be a Christian because it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Anyway, getting back to this article about Chrislam, it says that Chrislam has supposedly spread outside of Africa, but it's a pretty small movement. Here's the part that I want to get to. It says, there is, however, a much larger worldwide movement which can, in a sense, be considered a form of Chrislam. And that's getting to do with this Chrislam cross I was talking about.
Right.
It says its adherents minimize the differences between Islam and Christianity, and they describe themselves as people of the book and members of the Abraham faith tradition. And so, basically, says the main ritual between the Chrismalites is the dialogue, a ceremony that they hope will build bridges between the two faiths. Get this part. You love this, Bill. People who are dubious about these bridge-building efforts are dismissed as bigots and Islamophobes.
Oh, really?
Okay, so, yeah. So
in other words, they personally attack you if you dismiss it because you know that you can't, that they're too diametrically opposite pseudo-religious belief systems that are not really Christianity and not even original Islam, right?
Yeah, right, because Islam doesn't tolerate much of these things either.
No, okay. And Islam would not, it says in the Hadith in the Quran, if you see a Christian or a Jew behind a bush, you know, kill them. I mean,
actually, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, when we come back, I'll read that portion of the Quran. It's actually Quran, it's the number 47:4. And I hear your bumper music, so when we come back, I'll go into that. I'll read it when we come back from the break.
Absolutely. Amazing. Thank you, thank you. Amazing analysis, an appropriate time in Valentine's Day, isn't it? Diabetes is a condition in which insulin resistance in muscles can be reversed with dibetalene, biotin plus, and the use of leptin metabolic to lower insulin and leptin resistance in the tissue. We can block the conversion of carbohydrates to sugar with glycemics and reduce the conversion of protein in the liver to sugar through the use of berberstatin. Now, these protocols are very helpful to reduce heart and vascular disease, peripheral neuropathy, and neurodegeneration. Contact us at NutriMedical.com and NutriMedical.com to receive the protocol and expanded therapies, or 888-212-8871. We're available on our show daily from 12 to 3 Pacific Time, 2 to 5 Central, 3 to 6 Eastern, Monday to Friday, and Dr. Bill does consultations to review your case and help you with your condition with a free starter protocol, a call back if you purchased any products, and advanced videotape consultations. Beauty of your skin, hair, and nails is dependent on the production of collagen, elastin, and hyaluronic acid. You can increase these with Collagen Max, and it triples the rate of the proline transhydroxylase enzyme. You can increase hyaluronic acid with the joint performance and the use of Red Deer Velvet DR, and the use of oncomycin to increase the production of stem cell regeneration. The use of topicals, including pregnenolone and DHA, will reduce inflammation in your skin and help it heal. And taking Omega Supreme Pro of fatty acids will help regenerate your fatty acids in your tissues. The combination of using NutriMed's Royal Jelly and Collagen Max dramatically increases collagen, elastin, and hyaluronic acid in your skin, hair, and nails, and prevents the cross-linking. You can also prevent the cross-linking of tissues in your skin using curcumin cream along with pregnenolone and DHEA. Amazing protocol. It's 888-212-8871 and NutriMedical.com. Regenerate and stay beautiful with strong skin, hair, and nails. The first hour of the NutriMedical Report Monday to Friday deals with health, wellness, and anti-aging technology. But especially Friday, Firing Line is the first hour where the host is Michelle Deagle, asking your questions brought to us by email and phone to 888-212-8871 or contact us at NutriMedical. Your answers are given on air with abbreviated protocols and the science and technology explained simply behind why we use this protocol to try to help you heal and regenerate and have your health return without toxic polypharmacy. We integrate it with regular medicine and surgery and are able to provide you logical protocols. Anyone can get a free protocol by just emailing us, starter. And if you've purchased a product, you can even get a call back at any time between Monday and Thursday after the show or on the weekend. So Dr. Bill is available for you. Get your questions into the contact us or 888-212-8871 or contact us at NutriMedical.com. Stay well with NutriMedical every day. Lumen Photon Therapy, infrared light, far and near infrared, is extremely important for pain control, stimulation of nitric oxide, improved perfusion, and stem cell activation and reduction of cytokines. Dr. Bill uses it for pain control, for regeneration techniques, for organ regeneration, and for stimulation of your stem cell activity. This amazing Lumen Photon Therapy this year will probably have an additional device with frequency therapy during the on-phase of the lights. To obtain a Lumen Photon machine, contact Dr. Bill at NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. He'll prescribe it with the providing nutraceuticals to help with your regeneration, healing, and pain control. Nothing like the Lumen Photon Therapy for easy therapy for your eyes, your pain, your joints, regeneration of organs, detoxification of the body. Get a Lumen Photon machine from Dr. Bill Deagle, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well with NutriMedical. Cardiovascular health involves use of nutraceuticals to reduce blood viscosity, oxidation of cholesterol and fatty acids, and the prevention of calcification of arteries and small vessels. Metabolic support to the mitochondria in the heart and blood vessels involves the peristaltic initial shearing force of the heart, stimulating a secondary contraction of the blood vessel walls to move the blood forward to the periphery. Our core formula involves CardioVast, Gamma A Plus to get rid of nitroproxy radicals, cell detox glutathione to get rid of hydroproxy radical, H2 Plex, and ultrathiamine B1 to get rid of singlet oxygen. We use also magnesium glycinate to improve the heart, CoQ10 Supreme, the only non-crystallizing CoQ10, and water-soluble CoQ10 ubiquinol. Nanokinase will reduce blood viscosity and improve perfusion. Omega-3 Supreme Pro improves the blood vessel elasticity, and the use of antioxidant H2 Plex, Power C Plus, and other antioxidants help to reduce blood viscosity and oxidation of cholesterol and fatty acid. Order at NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. I'm going to make a guess that Donald Trump and America's apocalypse, he doesn't read it. He probably doesn't understand a number of the talking points. I put together an article I shared over to Jeff yesterday, Jeff Rentz, dealing with what POTUS, the President of the United States, should have done with the SOTU, the State of the Union Address. Because it's obvious to me as a real Christian that Donald Trump is not. I mean, a lot of people think he is, even the cardinals he has around him or his Christian people. But he supports things that are patently not Christian, doesn't he?
Correct, and he's, you know, as I told you on the year when he was running, when he said that he's never repented, it's like, oh, wait a second. You go to Acts chapter 2, and it says, when people ask, you know, Peter, what are you supposed to do? He says, well, repent, and Donald Trump has never done that. That, you know, that being said, you know, the other candidate who was running against him, as you might remember, I wrote a book about her, too. Called Hillary right. Clinton and American Apocalypse, and I went through some of her issues. I doubt that she read it or would have been interested in reading it as well. Well, anyway, what we said we're going to talk about before the break is I promised that I would read this portion of the Quran that you alluded to, and which is one of the reasons why people should not consider that true Christianity can be compatible with Islam. And this is from the Quran. This is Surah 47:4. It says, so when you meet those who disbelieve, strike their necks until when you've inflicted slaughter upon them, then secure their bonds and either give them favor or ransom them until the war lays down its burdens. That's the command. Okay? And if Allah had willed, he could have taken vengeance himself, but he ordered the armed struggle to test some of you by means of others. Okay? So that's from the Quran. So anyway, I know I don't consider the Quran as a holy text. Again, I understand that Muslims do, and but anybody who's trying to mix them two together, I think this is improper. You know,
it's evil. Let's call it evil. Well, what it is? Evil is a word lived backwards.
Now, in this article I was reading before from Life News, LifeSite News, they alluded to the Catechism of the Catholic Church and what it talks about with Islam. So let me read this here. This is from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I have a copy of it, and I have a picture of the front cover of my copy on the link I sent you. But I also went to the Vatican's website today and copied these down. And here's Catechism of the Catholic Church, starting with number 841. It's titled The Church's Relationship with the Muslims. And here's what they say here. The plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator, in the first place among those whom are the Muslims. These profess to hold the faith of Abraham, and together with us, they adore the one merciful God, mankind's judge in the last day. Now that is an exact quote from, I'm just reading it from the Catechism of the Catholic Church that I copied from the Vatican's website today.
Right.
Okay, which is the same as in the copy of it I have.
Right.
It didn't say they have to accept Jesus. Okay, so that's not in there.
No, and that, by the way, is a violation of the basic edicts that if you don't believe in Jesus, Yeshua, the Father in the flesh, you're not saved, period.
The Bible says...
By the way, their version of Jesus is one who, when he returns, is an inferior prophet to Muhammad, and
correct.
He's going to convert Christians to Islam, or he's commanded to behead them. That's what they actually preach in the Quran. People don't want to believe this. It's pretty damned obscene.
Well, in Amos 3:3, Prophet Amos was inspired to write, "Can two walk together right. unless they are agreed?" And we know that that was not the case with Christianity and Islam. They're not compatible.
Right.
Again, people can be pleasant to each other. That's nice. But as far as the other, no. Now, in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting verse 14, the Apostle Paul was inspired to write, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God, which are Christians, with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God says, I'm going to dwell in them, I'll walk among them, I'll be their God, and they shall be my people." Verse 17, "Therefore, merge with the Muslims." No, of course, there weren't Muslims then. No, that's not what it says. "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be your father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty."
Right.
Now, if that's not strong enough language, I'd like to say something else about the interfaith movement, which I think is basically seeing how much you can get the world to love you, because you've got the United Nations has endorsed this. Part of this is in Pope Francis's encyclical called Laudato Si, about basically chumming up with the world and come up with a humanistic world view.
Right.
In James 4:4, James was inspired to write, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Now, I've been reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, but interestingly, I went and I looked over at the New Jerusalem Bible today. Now, in case people are not familiar with it, the New Jerusalem Bible is a Roman Catholic accepted translation of Scripture into the English language. And in Revelation 17, where we learn about Mystery Babylon the Great, it says, "All the kings of the earth," is verse 2, "have prostituted themselves, and they've made the population of the world drunk from the wine of her adultery." So Scripture here, from a Catholic perspective, just says, hey, this is talking about adultery, and spiritual adultery, which again ties in with James 4:4. And so we've got the situation that if you believe what Scripture says, it's like, wait a second, this is, you're talking about spiritual adultery, getting involved in all this kind of stuff. And that's basically what's been going on. But again, so far this year, this is actually the first of two different things that have happened or about to happen. One is, as I said, last Monday on the 4th, they signed a document for one world religion. And we put this particular video up. We've got a video on it. We sent you the link to it, Bill. And we've had 2,000 views of it already. And it's called Pope Francis Signs One World Religion Document. And so we go over what happened last Monday and some of the things the World Council of Churches has said. Now, one thing you said in an earlier segment that I want to talk about is this idea of how Mary ties in with all this kind of stuff. And people say, what does Mary have to do with anything? Mary, the mother of Jesus? Yes, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Well, it turns out, a little while back, this sheikh renamed a mosque in Abu Dhabi. It was originally called the Grand Mosque, but now it's called Mary, Mother of Jesus Mosque. Okay? This is a mosque, a Muslim mosque. It's called Mary, Mother of Jesus. And he said he did this to, the sheikh said, he did this to consolidate bonds of humanity between followers of different religions.
Right.
Okay? So that's a quote from him. And others have looked at this, and they seem to like it. Catholics over there like it. A Coptic leader over there said that by using the name Mother Mary on this mosque, it's a gesture of love and peace that we hope we follow around the world. And basically, that's what's happening there. Now, you say, well, okay, so the Muslims are going toward Mary. Why would they do that? Now, I mentioned this last week, I think, on your show. According to scholars, Mary's the only woman mentioned in the Quran. And, by the way, she's mentioned more than Jesus. Matter of fact, when they talk about Jesus, sometimes they just call him the son of Mary as opposed to the typical words they use for Jesus in there. So this I found was kind of interesting. So the Quran has it. I've mentioned this also to you before. My wife and I have been to Ephesus two or three times, at least twice, and over in Ephesus, which is in the current nation of Turkey, they have an annual party or celebration or for Mary. Now, this is a Muslim area. Okay, it's not like there's a bunch of Catholics over there or Eastern Orthodox or something. I mean, there's a few of them. Don't get me wrong. But we're talking about an area that's 98-99% Muslim, and they have a big party for Mary. Now, within Catholicism, the view has long been there that what they're going to do is use Mary to reach the Muslims. And that's been part of the view for quite some time. I think last time I was on, I might have quoted from Archbishop Fulton Sheen. He was a televangelist of the Catholics in the 1950s. And he said that that's what they needed to do. He also said they had success using this when it came to the Hindus. And that seems to be the basic plan, is to see if they could use this whole mother goddess. And just to let you know, and I'm sure you already know this, Bill, it's not just Muslims with Mary. You've got Hindus who have interests because the Hindus have multiple goddesses. And then you've even got the Chinese who are supposed to be atheistic to some degree or significant degree. But some of them will worship a Chinese version of Mary on one day and then go to a Catholic Mass and venerate what they claim to be Mary of the Bible another day. So this is not just something that's hidden. It's just something that's been out there for a long time. Now, Catholic prophecy, by the way, has also said things are going to be important here. For example, I'm going to read a quote. This is from a lady that they call the Blessed Maria of Agreda, and she died in 1665. And here's what she said. The power of Mary in the latter days will be very conspicuous. Mary will extend the reign of Christ over the heathens and the Mohammedans, meaning the Muslims. Okay.
Wow.
And so this is a prophecy that the Catholics have for one of their people, and they think that this is going to be the case. Now, we mentioned this other topic before on the show. I also wrote a book called Fatima Shock, and just to let your listeners know what that has to do with. I mean, I should have sent you a link, but I didn't this time.
Right.
I've been planning on talking about it. But anyway, Fatima was a place in Portugal. It was a town that was renamed after a Muslim princess named Fatima who converted to Catholicism from Islam. And as you pointed out before, Fatima was the name of Muhammad's favorite daughter. And she and Mary are two of the four perfect women in Islam. Anyway, Muslims believe that what happened there was that Fatima actually appeared in Fatima, Portugal. Whereas Roman Catholics say, no, it was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, I've been to Fatima, and by the way, and I've looked at the words. Back then, I actually studied a lot of Portuguese before I went over there. And actually, the only people who saw the apparition didn't say that it said it was called Mary. It just said, it just kind of pointed to heaven and called itself the Lady, as well as the Lady of the Rosary. But it never said it was Mary, and it never said it was Fatima, by the way. It just to let all your listeners know. And while people later concluded that it was Mary of the Bible, which it was not, or Fatima, Muhammad's daughter, which it was not, the apparition itself didn't say anything like that. Well, the reason I'm bringing this out is that, in accordance with Scripture, I'd like to read something from 2 Thessalonians 2, starting in verse 9. I'd like your listeners just to think about this, because I'm going to read this before I say something here. The Apostle Paul wrote, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Well, I believe that Marian apparitions qualify as signs and lying wonders. In my book, Fatima Shock, I explain certain lies and misinformation that came from the apparition of Fatima. Okay, so I think, unlike some who don't think anything showed up, I agree something showed up, but I actually looked at what this thing said, or supposedly said, and it's simply not from God. Now, is it possible that an apparition could temporarily get the Muslims to accept the beast power? I think so. And I'd like to read a couple of scriptures and then go back to more reasons as to why I think that's the case. In Revelation chapter 13, we read about a leader called the Beast. And the Bible says that all the world will worship the Beast, okay, whose names are not written in the Book of Life. Okay, but you say, wait, Muslims are really strict. I mean, some of them are definitely on the fanatical side. And how could they put up with that? Well, I don't think they'll put up with it very long.
Right. That's why the treaty will be broken after a period of time, right?
Right. We didn't talk about the treaty yet, but we'll talk about the treaty when we come back on the air. And this treaty, and this is a reference to the one in Daniel 9:27, is also in Islamic prophecy.
And we'll
explain how that all kind of ties in and how Mary ties in with all this, might tie in this as well.
You are good at tying things together. We'll be back in just a moment. Dr. Bob Teal, ccog.org is the website. Back in a moment. Be back. CardioVasc is a 7-synergistic heart formula containing a number of amazing nutraceuticals. It contains cayenne that releases nitric oxide to release oxygen, aged garlic that blocks the angiotensin converting enzyme and inflammatory markers in your heart and kills off nanobacteria and viruses, hawthorn, which is the leaf and flower part that releases vitaxin to act as a cardiotonic for your heart and blood vessels, valerian to balance the autonomic nervous system for parasympathetic, milk thistle that helps to detox the body from toxic chemicals that affect blood vessels and heart, and bilberry, one of the smallest dialyzable antioxidants, and anthocyanidins above the size of hydrogen. Amazing formula to reduce heart and vascular disease. If you want to stay well, you want cardiovascular tincture or capsules. A capsule equals 15 mils of the tincture, and you can obtain this at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well with NutriMedical's amazing nutraceuticals for your heart, your blood vessels, and your health.
Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together. Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family. Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
So we're looking at this treaty coming up. I'd like to see the tie-in. Because I think this means we're literally in the last months and years of the final tribulation showing up real soon, aren't we?
Well, it's a few years away, but not too many.
It's not a decade away, is it?
Well, one of the things we're waiting for, by the way, to give us a better idea of when it's going to be, is in Daniel 9, 26 and 27. It talks about a one-week deal that's going to be made, and it's going to be broken in the middle of the week. Now,
right.
For centuries, various sources, including, for example, the Catholic writer Hippolytus of Rome, said that this 1 week meant 7 years. So this has been understood for centuries in and out of the Roman Church, that this is talking about a seven-year deal. Protestants have that belief. Those of us continuing Church of God have that belief as well. Okay, you say, okay, so there's a deal and it's going to be broken. So what? Well, here's something from Islamic prophecy. It says, Muhammad said there'll be four peace agreements between you and the Roman Christians. The fourth will be mediated through a person who will be the progeny of Aaron and will be upheld for 7 years. So there's talking about some kind of a deal. This is an Islamic prophecy between European Catholics, if you will, and the Middle East. Now, this deal in Daniel 9, 26 and 27, people have always felt it was a deal, some type of peace deal in the Middle East. So this Islamic prophecy is consistent with that. However, there's another part of Islam. Now, Islam's got two different views. One Islamic view is they're going to rule the world for 7 years, okay? And so when you see this chrysalim cross, that's kind of consistent with that, I suppose. But there's another one, and this is from what's called Minor Signs of the Last Days, okay? This is a Muslim source.
Right.
It says, general anarchy and bloodshed, that no Arab household will be spared from it. Then a life of peace will result between a peace deal between you and the Romans, which they will break and attack you with a force consisting of 80 flags, and under each flag will be an army of 12,000 men. Okay, so basically what Islam says is, okay, there's going to be a peace deal between the Muslims and the Roman Catholics, and it's going to be broken in the middle of it. Now, in the Bible, not only do we have this deal I mentioned in Daniel 9:27, there's a few other deals mentioned. In Daniel 11:27, and people seem to overlook this one a lot, we find there are two kings. They're called the king of the north in verse 15, the king of the south in verse 15. And it says in Daniel 11:27, both these kings' hearts shall be bent on evil. They shall speak lies at the same table, but shall not prosper, for the end will still be at the appointed time. So what this is talking about is a lying deal. Kind of like a deal that, you know, like Adolf Hitler made with Stalin. Okay, they both lied under the table, and they both, you know, did what they were going to do. So
right.
Some kind of lying deal is going to happen. And according to Islam, this deal is going to be broken. Now, without going through all the scriptures, in Daniel 11, starting in verse 40, says the king of the south and king of the north are going to fight one another. So we're going to see that happening. And that is consistent with Islamic prophecy. Now, Islamic prophecy, by the way, says that when all this happens, 3.5 years later, Jesus will return. By the way, they're pretty right. They've got that. They've got that pretty right on. There's different parts of it that they've got correct. Now, before the break, I said I was going to try to tie in some of this Marianism with all this kind of stuff, and I had quoted some 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about signs and lying wonders. And I mentioned about Fatima being an apparition, and I mentioned that a Catholic prophecy says that Mary is going to help convert the Muslims at the time of the end.
Right.
Well, back, and this is something a lot of people don't realize, back very many centuries ago, in the 1500s, as people realized, Spaniards came over to what's called the New World, and they kind of tried to convert the Indians to Catholicism. And that didn't go so well. Okay,
right.
They didn't trust the Spaniards. They were brutal. They were killing people, doing all this kind of stuff. But
right.
What happened was a couple of apparitions supposedly showed up. One at the site of an Aztec temple. That would be the one in Mexico City, Our Lady of Guadalupe. And the other one was down in South America. I think it was in Colombia or Venezuela. Off the top of my head, I don't remember which one it was of those two, but it was down there someplace. Well, anyway, it was because of those apparitions that essentially what we call Latin America became Catholic.
Right.
And so...
Oh, is that it? Repeat that. I want you to repeat that because that's so profound. These are apparitions before an Aztec temple that indicated a Marian apparition. Now, you actually, if you go around the world and you go to Catholic churches and you'll see them dedicate, like I saw one in Arizona back years ago, they're dedicated to Mary. And there's more Marian temples, if you want to call it, in Catholic churches or dedicated to Mary than there is to Jesus by a 10-to-1 ratio or more, right?
I don't know what the ratio is, but I do
it's
know
a lot.
That there's...
It's a lot higher than 10, even. It's a lot higher than 10.
So,
and it's, by the way, it's not just in... And if you go to other faiths, whether they're Hindu or Buddhist or whatever, you'll see some Queen of Heaven kind of thing in the background. Even if you go to cultures like China, this goes back a long time. This Marianology or something like Mary, or Mary looking like, is present in many other cultures and religions going back many thousands of years, isn't it?
Yes, and it's been there for quite some time. Well, anyway, just like, as I said, it is widely believed by Catholic writers, and I agree with them on this, that the apparitions at Guadalupe and any others that were in the New World were major factors in converting or getting much of Latin America to accept Roman Catholicism.
Wow.
Because that's happened, I believe that if we see a Marian apparition that shows up in, Turkey or one of the Arab countries or whatever, that this could be go a long way to getting Muslims to temporarily accept the New World Order, if you will, that's going to come in. Now, interestingly, there's a writing that came out over 20 years ago. This is from an Eastern Orthodox writer. And I'd like to read what he said about it, because he's been concerned, basically, that this is going to be used for the wrong purpose. He comments, for example, that mother goddesses have been there forever. He talks about it all over. And he said that Roman Catholic missionaries have been using these for forever and ever. Then he comes down, I'll just read his kind of concluding comments. He says, to which Mary are Protestants and Muslims being drawn to?
Right.
And it says, the Protestant Reformation had a distorted view of Mary, according to this. But Protestantism didn't just reject Mary, it ignored her completely. However, Catholics said it went the other way. It says, now, as heterodox Christians become more and more ecumenist, and are working towards creating a one-world church, the search has begun for a Mary of universal recognition, one who will appeal not only to those who bear the name Christian, but apparently to Muslims and others as well.
Other religions, yeah.
Yes. I'm almost done reading this section. Just as attempts are likewise being made to identify the new Christ with the Muslim concept of their coming Mahdi, and with the Messiah still awaited by the Jews, this, of course, will be no Christ at all, but the Antichrist. Well, while I don't think the Mahdi, per se, will be the Antichrist, this concept of perhaps there'll be Marianism tied in with the Antichrist and the beast power is very consistent with a bunch of Catholic prophecies. Various Catholic prophecies say that the beast, or the one we call the beast, is going to rise up because of help from Mary. And so that's consistent with Catholic prophecies, as well as the current reality that Muslims have a veneration of Mary. Again, the fact that over in Abu Dhabi, they renamed the Grand Mosque Mary, Mother of Jesus Mosque. Okay.
Wow.
You know, there's something going on with that. So
That's serious, isn't it?
Yes, it is quite serious, and people are thinking, this stuff's really happening. Yes, these things are really happening. Now,
by the way, the reason why they believe in the Mariology is because it's a substitute for what's called the Queen of Heaven. Now, the destiny of mankind, that saved mankind, is to become the bride of the Most High God, incarnate as Yeshua Jesus, and that marriage supper of the Lamb occurs after the tribulation, which means the Queen of Heaven is us. It's not an external Mary. It's not a Mariology that's been in these pagan religions or Islam. It's literally the believing in Yeshua HaMashiach Christians. And what's happening is this substitutionary gospel is part of the process of lying to the public, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't use the term that Christians are the Queen of Heaven because of the scriptures in the Old Testament warning about that.
What I mean is they're the bride of God. The Christians become the bride of the Most High God is what we've become. Because that's what he's looking for. The marriage supper of the Lamb is basically God saying, I'm going to marry the saved remnant of mankind that survives the tribulation.
Well, the marriage supper of the Lamb is coming, and again, as you indicated, Marianism is a way to push people away from Scripture.
Right, exactly.
I saw a documentary, actually, since I was on last, that somebody claimed that Mary's actually mentioned more in the Quran than she is in the Bible.
Isn't that wild?
It's probably correct, because I tried to look at every time Mary was mentioned in the Bible.
The quote around the Stone of Abraham at the Temple Mosque on the Temple Mount, the Mosque of Omar, quotes that there's three daughters of Allah, but no son. Isn't it interesting, eh?
Yes, and this is one of the reasons why within Islam, the idea that a woman figure, a Marian figure, will be important is consistent. Now, a couple of things I guess I should mention. I know we only got a couple of months for where we're done, but a couple
Four.
Of interesting things about Fatima and Mary. Fatima supposedly was went to heaven. Okay, she went up there, and in Catholicism, the belief was that Mary died in either Ephesus or in Jerusalem, and she was buried. Well, then you have the fact that they say that Mary went up to heaven on the 15th of August, which, by the way, was the same day that people used to celebrate the goddess Diana returning to heaven. But anyway,
they got
this from Islam. Islam had the same, Fatima going up this way, and so Catholics then started to teach that Mary went up this way.
Oh, really?
And if you look at actually,
see, now that's interesting, because Fatima is one of the three names of the three goddesses that Allah had, Fatima.
Well, and the other point I would comment about some similarities between Islam and Catholicism is if you look at what nuns wear, their habit, and we put this stuff over their head.
Right.
There's similarity to how Muslim women dress, observant Muslim women.
The burqa, yeah.
Yeah,
and
the
headdress.
Kind of, the women who wear the burqa. So there are a lot of similarities. I would tell anybody, Catholic, Muslim, or otherwise, believe what the Bible says. Do not fall for Chrislam. Don't start using a Chrislam cross as some great symbol. It's certainly not a biblical symbol. It's not something I think Christians should rally around. But it's going to be used, officially it's being used for a conference next month. And I think part of it's to try to soften the blow for Islam when they finally will temporarily align with the beast power that's going to rise up in Europe in just a few years. And you, before we talked about, you know, when the Great Tribulation will be, Daniel 9:27 talks about a particular deal. It says, after this deal is confirmed, 3.5 years after it's confirmed, it's going to be broken. And when it's broken, that'll start the Great Tribulation, which you can read about in various scriptures. Jesus mentioned Matthew 24. It also starts in Daniel 11, verse 39. And so we'll have a much better idea. Now, because that deal has not been made yet, and certainly has not been confirmed yet, I believe we've got at least 4 years before the Great Tribulation.
Oh, I think you're. I think you're close, though. Yeah, I think we're close. I think it's the 7 Hebrew years, or 520 days, right?
You're listening to the Rents Radio Network, nationwide and worldwide on the net and at Rents.